This is an interview with Terry Tesari on his recent trip to Cuba. Terry wrote an article on his experiences during his trip, and this article was published by different media outlets in the state of Michigan. And this gave us a heads up, and we were able to find Terry, and he very generously agreed to do this short interview with Radio Marti. All right, Terry, how are you?
I am well, thank you, Alex. I live in Michigan.
Yeah, explain a little bit who you are, where you live, what prompted, what motivated your Cuba trip.
Sure. I live in Portage, Michigan, which is a suburb of Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I've been attending a Presbyterian church in Portage, Michigan, and a year ago we had a visit from a woman from a Presbyterian church in Perico, Cuba, and she stayed with us for about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks. And so we wanted to return the visit, and this past June, 7 members of the church, including myself, were able to travel to Havana and then on to Perico for 8 days, an 8-day visit in Perico, Cuba, and saw her and visited members of the church and some families and saw some of the area around Perico and also some lovely areas, other parts of Cuba.
What did you do when you were in Cuba? What was your agenda? Who did you speak with? Give me the general scope of your activities there.
Sure. We were really there to visit and to become acquainted with the members of the Presbyterian Church, the Presbyterian Reformed Church in Perico, Cuba, meeting their minister and the members of the congregation and learning about church life and also daily life for them in their town. And so most of the time we visited families in their homes or we had activities at church that brought families to church that we engaged in different activities and got to know them and participated in worship services and Bible studies and prayer groups. And then went on some little outings with them. We went to Varadero Beach, which is up in Matanzas, near the city of Matanzas, mm-hmm. and had a nice day with some of the church members at the beach. So we did do a little traveling and meeting folks, and that was the purpose of our trip. We really didn't do any work, per se, any physical work. It was very hot, and I'm thankful that I didn't have to work physically. So it was mostly a people-to-people encounter.
And so this was a perfectly legal trip within the framework of the people-to-people contacts that have been being promoted by the White House currently.
Yes. We went into Cuba on a religious visa and had no problems. We flew from Miami and had no problems getting through customs and had no problems at all leaving. Although one of our group members did have their passport stolen, and so that was a little bit of a issue at the end of our trip. He had to go to what is called an American presence in Havana. There's no consulate or embassy in Havana, but there is an American presence. And he was able to get a new passport within a matter of an hour or two and was able to leave the country. But he had to make a police report at the police station in Havana in order to start this process. So,
how about some general observations and conclusions on life in Cuba or the Cuban people or the U.S. relationship with Cuba, just based on this trip and your experiences in Perico, Matanzas, Cuba?
Yes, well, I think I would have to say, Alex, for sure, the people were very in good spirits. I found everybody that we talked to in good spirits. They were very friendly. Many of them are industrious and very resourceful in terms of keeping their old American cars going from the 50s, which I really enjoyed seeing. And that takes a lot of doing, not being able to have access to parts from America that they need for these cars. But to keep them going and keep them running was quite a deal. And I also, of course, as I mentioned in the article, the family, a neighborhood or a group of families put together a biodigester with hog excrement and water and were able to capture the methane gas and use it in their homes to light their homes and also to provide fuel for their stoves. So,
very creative, very ingenious, very resourceful.
Yeah, resourceful and ingenious. The food, We had plentiful food. I thought the food was good. We had a lot of beans and rice and some pork and chicken and fruits and juices and coffee that was very sweet. Cubans like sweet coffee, and we enjoyed the food. The television, I saw very little television. I understand there aren't many television channels in Cuba. What I saw was mostly music videos and cartoons. I was able to pick up a newspaper. I think it's a daily paper that comes to each province in Cuba called Grama. Is it Grama?
Right. Yeah, that's a short for grandma. It's the Cuban version of grandma. Grandmother. Grandma, yeah.
And I was told that that was the name of the boat that Fidel Castro came over from Mexico to Cuba.
That's exactly
prior
right.
To the start of the revolution, but I'm not sure about that. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. Yeah, and it's yep. Like I said, it's short for grandma. Well, it's not short. It's the English grandma, which you yes. know very well.
So that I read that. Of course, I understand that that's a controlled government press. There's no freedom of the press in Cuba, but I was able to take a look at that daily paper. We also, our group, brought in a lot of over-the-counter medications and personal care items, medical supplies that we left for the folks in Puerto Rico. I understand that Cuba has quite a capable medical system for the entire population, but many people that we talked to could not get very common items, medications, over-the-counter medications, and other items. So we brought in a lot of those things for them. I might just say too, Alex, as I walked around Puerto Rico, I found that the exterior of the homes in Puerto Rico, many of them needed some fixing up and repair, as did the sidewalks and curbs and steps and streets. But all the interiors of the homes that we visited were very clean and pretty well furnished. And many of them had, out in the backyard, of course, animals. There were many chickens and rabbits and hogs and other animals. Tree rats, I didn't even know a tree rat, but there was tree rats. And
jutia.
Pardon me?
It's called a jutia.
Jutia.
J-U-T-I-A, if it's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it might very well be, yes. And they were providing, too, some of the excrement for the methane gas in the biodigester. So that was interesting. I found many of the families that I talked with some sadness because of separation from other family members who have come to the United States or defected, and that separation is difficult and very hard because of travel restrictions back and forth and limitations. And so that was sad. I might tell you, Alex, that we did stop in the park near Varadero Beach, and we went to a park, and at the bar restaurant was the father of Elian Gonzalez working. And I did not visit with him, but some of our group visited with him.
What was he doing? What does he work? What does he do there?
He was working either, I think, the bar. He was an employee of the bar restaurant. Lovely. It's a lovely park. I can't think of the name of it, right near Varadero Beach. And he was working in this restaurant. He could have been a waiter or maitre d'. I'm not sure. But he was identified and talked to some of our group. Remember the young boy who came over to the States and then had to go.
Of course, yes, we covered that story very extensively. Yes,
sure, yeah.
So and what about the state of the church in Cuba, the Protestant church that you visited?
Yeah, the Presbyterian Church there in Cuba. There are about let me think if I can get this right. The number of Presbyterian churches in Cuba, about 51, I think, in the whole country, and about 7,000 members. So it's not a very large group of people, but the church in Puerto Rico was well attended, and I was able to participate in the service. I'm a retired pastor myself, and so we had a good time sharing our faith together in the church in Puerto Rico, and a number of young people, too. And that was good to see that there were some younger families with children participating in the services and activities of the church.
Some final thoughts on your visit to Cuba, Terry?
Well, I would look forward to going back. I would like to be of support to the people that we met. I think one of the things that I found encouraging was the number of places where we had helped, our church had helped put in water purification or filtration systems. I think the water system in Cuba does have some issues of waterborne illnesses, and so we're trying to help provide some filtration and purification systems that are placed at churches, at the Presbyterian churches in Cuba. There's one in Havana and one in Guines. Is it Guines? I'm not sure if I have that correct.
Guines?
Near Havana.
Doesn't ring
and
a bell.
And so we're looking forward to continuing a relationship with the churches and seeing how we can be helpful in their lives, and also with the material things, but also with person-to-person visits.
Okay.
And I think we would all benefit here in the States and in Cuba if we could have more frequency of visits between our peoples.
Okay. Well, we'll stop there. You listened to an interview with Terry Tesari, who lives in Portage, Michigan. He's a retired minister in the United Church of Christ. He and six members of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Portage visited Perico Matanzas, Cuba, from June 17th through June 24th. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate it very, very much.
Yes, thank you.